It asked the UN nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency, to report back in 30 days on Iran's compliance or lack of compliance with demands to stop enriching uranium, the process that could lead to a nuclear weapon. The document adopted by consensus without a vote after a flurry of negotiations between the five veto-wielding members of the Security Council, which does have the power to impose sanctions. In the end, Britain, France, and the U.S. made some concessions to China and Russia, who wanted as mild a statement as possible. An American Muslim from Virginia got 30 years for plotting to try to assassinate George Bush. Ahmed Omar Abu Ali sentenced today after being convicted in November of conspiracy to try to assassinate Bush, conspiracy to hijack aircraft, and providing support to Al-Qaeda, among other crimes. He faced a mandatory minimum of 20 years, maximum of life, which is what prosecutors had argued for. However, the judge said the punishment was sufficient because Abu Ali's actions, quote, did not result in one single actual victim. George Bush says it is Saddam Hussein and not the U.S. troops that are responsible for sectarian violence in Iraq. In his third Iraq speech this month, Bush said insurgents are using Saddam's tactics as they kill and terrorize Iraqis and exploit sectarian divisions. The top Democrat in the Senate, though, says Bush is sending mixed messages about future U.S. involvement that hurt Iraq's chances for success. Senator Harry Reid also says speeches will not change the fact that the Bush administration's Iraq policy is wrong. This is Air America Radio News.
Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Now, I'm sitting here in our studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, and I've got MSNBC on, and they're carrying live the a radio and TV correspondence dinner, and this crazed killer, Dick Cheney, is addressing the crowd, and it's all fun and games. I was listening to some of it, listening to the one-liners that Cheney's putting out, and the response from a press corps that allegedly is supposed to challenge these people on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, and it's just all fun and games. I guess maybe I'm turning into an old coot. Am I turning into a coot, Kathy? Am I becoming a curmudgeon? I don't see anything funny with this, with this at all. Cheney is doing the one-liners, and he has a slideshow. You can turn on MSNBC if you like. I don't mind. He's doing a slideshow, and half of it is inane and stupid. Jokes about the NSA spying on people, jokes about port security. I don't get this. I'm sorry, I just don't. I don't understand why there is such a thing as a White House Correspondents' Dinner or the radio and television Correspondents' Dinner. Anyway, I don't quite get that. Unless you consider everybody there, and everybody's well-dressed, it's formal apparently, unless you just consider it to be a gathering of well-paid prostitutes. I don't know. I've seen some faces in the crowd as the crowd panned, the camera panned through the crowd. I saw Dana Bash of CNN, and interestingly, somebody apparently pointed to the big TV monitor in the dining room, and Dana looked up and saw herself and kind of turned away like, oh, Jesus, they've got my face. I'm not quite sure how to take this. I really am not. I wish we lived in a time when it was possible to be in on the joke. I don't get the joke that's going on here. The United States of America is involved in mass murder against a helpless population. That's at the top of the list. I'm not going to give you the whole list. You know what's going on. I don't know. Maybe I'm entering into cootdom. What do you think, Kathy?
You have seemed a bit cootish.
It's just, it's to me, it's an obscenity. This is obscene. There are people right now in Iraq, one assumes, safely, American people, soldiers, getting an arm or a leg blown off, being gut shot, being blown up by a roadside explosive device. There are events occurring in Iraq right now that have to do with our initiation of the horror there that are leaving children with arms and legs blown off and slowly bleeding to death in the street like so much kicked aside garbage. And here these sons of bitches sit, Cheney and politicians up on the dais and all these radio and television correspondents sitting there, and it's just a big yuck fest. Everybody's laughing and giggling and hooting and hollering and slapping each other and grabbing ass. And what's going on here? What's going on here?
But the question is, has Cheney shot anybody yet tonight?
We made a joke about that, too. I count me out of that. Jesus. It's sick. I mean, it really is sick. Would that we lived in a time where everybody could sit around and get all chuckle-nutsy and you know, play grab-ass and say, hey, what? I don't think these are those times. Do you? No, it's got me in such a bad mood. Hold on a minute. Let me turn this bastard off. That's the problem. Okay. Jesus. I was cruising through Democratic Underground tonight, and I guess this was posted this afternoon. A guy named Howard Kaloogian, who is the leading Republican candidate for the convicted felon and prisoner, former Republican that held the seat in Congress in California, Randy Duke Cunningham, real evil son of a bitch whose son got involved in cocaine smuggling, and Randy was sucking off as much money as he could, millions, got caught, got busted. So another lying, sneaky, well, I repeat myself, they're Republicans. But another lying, sneaking Republican is running for his seat, a guy named Howard Kaloogian. He posted a photo on his website of a place that he said was Baghdad. And it was a very pastoral scene, I guess. A couple holding hands. Right away, you know, right? Some other obvious discrepancies that one would find in a photo that was alleged to be Baghdad, but was not. Turns out, it's a photograph taken from a quiet Turkish suburb. Not Baghdad. Now, the reason this lying bastard had it up on his website was he says, well, see how calm things are in Iraq? The news media is lying to you. What is it about Republicans that they insist on pretending that the war in Iraq is either solved or people aren't dying, children aren't being blown to pieces, a civil war is not going on? What is it? And what is it about Republicans that make them lie like this constantly? Do you know a single Republican or Bush supporter or conservative whose life is not a series of lies? Now, I'm serious. Think about that for a second. Just a series of lies. Whether that Republican or Bush supporter or right-winger is a politician or just somebody that lives in your neighborhood. Now, especially if it's a politician, every single thing, I've said this so many times before, and you know it. I mean, I don't mean I've said it to educate you. You know it already. Every single thing that comes out of the mouth of a Republican is a lie. All of it. But what is it about this death and destruction in Iraq that these Republicans seem to love? It's like they want to cuddle up to corpses. The more people blown to pieces, the happier they seem to be, and the more they're willing to paint it as though it's not really happening. You know, that magical, that weird thinking that Republicans do. Well, it's not really happening. See, here's a picture of Baghdad to show you it's not really happening. That's a picture of someplace in Turkey. Oh, is it? Well, it's my webmaster's fault. Jesus. I guess it's kind of cute to say that Republicans are not human, but I really do feel sometimes, and this is one of those moments, that the people who claim to be Republicans in this society are somehow less of a human being than I am. With all my flaws, all the foul-ups I've had in my life, still, at my center, when the lights are out and I'm by myself in the dark, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to sit there and think to myself, oh, Christ, what have you done today that is vile and foul and deceitful and hypocritical? I just don't have to do it. And I feel that every single Republican does. And that, I think, is an essential difference between Republicans or Bush supporters, conservatives, whatever you want to call them, and us normal people. Can you do that? Do you have? Oh, I have my fears and doubts and things that go bump in the night. I'm not saying that I can enter a blissful state, to sit there and ohm myself into some kind of balance. Not the least. I'm as screwed up as the next person, probably more so. But I don't have to worry about what's at my core. I don't have to worry if there's some essential bad, dirty, filthy, murderous thing at my core. And I truly believe that every single Republican who is honest with himself or herself, or Bush supporter, I think of Lynn Cheney. How does she face the dark, the night, with when she looks inside, does she come up with, hey, everything's okay down there? I don't know, just asking.
Yeah. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Governments don't love. Governments can dispense law and justice, but not love.
Yeah, you need to see your obstetrician for that. 21 past the hour. In a few minutes, we've invited Steve Sinton back on the program tonight. He's running for Congress in Georgia's 4th. Oh, is that tomorrow night? Oh, I thought it was tonight. Well, damn. All right. Tomorrow night, then. Steve Sinton, a Democrat, real Democrat, running for Congress in Newt Gingrich's old district. He's up against a Republican. So, you sure it's tomorrow night? Okay. That's why you're the producer. Anyway, Chucklenuts was out there today. I watched a bit of this on television, speaking to members of something called Freedom House. I haven't Googled it. I don't like it. Whatever it is, it might be a wonderful thing, but it just sounds kind of dodgy. Now, if this is a good organization, I'm sure I'll get 70 emails here in the next 30 seconds. But anyway, he was there. Any organization with the word freedom in it that invites Bush to speak is very dodgy to me. Bush will get up and speak before any organization named Freedom in it, if in its title. If it's the Ku Klux Klan of Mississippi Freedom, he'll be there. He's so desperate to get his so-called approval ratings out of the 30s. Anyway, if you heard any of it, there's little doubt he's back on the sauce or smoking crack or something. It's astonishing. I sat there with my mouth hanging open listening to what this freak was saying. The only audio of the speech we could find was at the very wonderful website, canafun.com, but it just wasn't clear enough to rebroadcast here on this program. So the plan here, Kathy's going to keep searching for a clean audio source, and we hope to have some of these astounding clips for you tomorrow. I'll give you a little taste tonight in my voice, which I can't do Bush tonight, so it'll just have to be kind of straight ahead, a little bit later in the program. You sure Steve Sinton's not on tonight? Okay. Is this Wednesday?
I could call him and see if he'd rather come on tonight.
Maybe I am becoming a coot. Christ, I don't even know what day it is.
There are pills for that
now. Oh, good. What is it, Aricept? email here from our good friend Bridget. She writes, "Hi, Mike. I was in the car this afternoon, so I was listening to the talk radio available over the air rather than what I stream on the Internet, and I was struck by something." Bridget writes, "All week, it's been all immigration, all the time, on every talk show I've listened to. Now, I'm not suggesting it's not a problem, but having lived in Los Angeles for 26 years, there's nothing new here. And there's certainly nothing much new in either the public discourse or the legislative arena. So why is everybody talking about it all the time? Why are all the Hispanic radio jocks getting all their listeners into the streets? I smell," Bridget writes, "a foul Rovian stink emanating from this issue. Georgie's numbers are in the toilet. The civil war in Iraq is getting worse. More and more people, even on the right, are uttering the I word. Republicans running for office don't want to be seen on the same stage with either Monkey Boy or Darth Vader. The rats are fleeing the sinking ship. So, we have the scourge of illegal immigrants instead of the family-wrecking scourge of gay marriage." Yeah, I know how this works too, Bridget. She goes on, "My question is, why are all the liberal talk show hosts falling for it? Why isn't anyone other than you," she adds parenthetically, well, thank you, Bridget, "why isn't anyone other than you saying this is a red herring? I wouldn't dream of expecting the spineless and clueless Democratic Party to figure it out, but I had hope for a little more critical awareness from the liberals with a microphone. Mike, we're being played, just as we have been since these neocon sociopaths took over our country. The immigration issue is a complex problem, worthy of careful, thoughtful consideration. I'm sorry, even the left is allowing it to be used as one more issue to dehumanize and divide us and distract us from the lies, the graft and corruption, the complete disregard for the rule of law. We need," Bridget writes, "to keep our eye on the ball. These people are criminals, and we need to keep doing everything we can to get them where they belong, in jail." Now, and she cites it, Bridget. Now, the criminals she's referring to, of course, are not immigrants. She's referring to the Bush crime family. Yeah, early on, just like the Dubai ports deal, was another distraction. I called it on this program, as did a few other people. I'm sure you did. You know, you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. You really don't. But as soon as the Dubai ports thing happened, stench, 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 stench. It's a Rovian trick. Give the Republicans seeking re-election something to push against so they can say, well, I'm here to secure America, even against my own president. The immigration issue is the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. There's very simple solutions to the immigration issue. Very simple solutions. I suggested one the other night. Make the federal minimum wage $12 an hour. You'll have white people in America, and I mean no disrespect here, beating each other over the head to go pick lettuce for $12 an hour. Trust me on that. Or beating each other over the head to work on the interstate highway repair crews that you see all over the place. You ever notice when you drive by how many of the folks doing that work in the heat with risking their lives in interstate traffic are Latino? Pay them $12 an hour and see how fast all these available jobs that folks come to this country to get just disappear, just dry up. Because there's an awful lot of Americans, black and white and Latino, and whatever nationality, legal Americans, who desperately need work. Just not at $5.15 an hour.
My God, I wish the grass would turn to money. And then them green bags.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
26 before the hour. All right, a couple of emails here, and then I'm going to try to read some of these comments from Bush today. This is from Margaret in Ohio regarding the Cheney thing tonight. She said, Mike, I just observed a very few minutes of Cheney's performance, and it really literally sickened me. I had to turn it off. The things he is saying are not funny, but so pathetic that I cannot believe that these people are sitting there laughing at his unbelievable attempt to be funny. He's trying to make light of the Bush administration's criminal behavior. I can hardly wait to see the reviews of this affair, that they will rave about him and not point out what a lack of class he portrayed. Yeah, I started watching this right as we were into the top of the hour newscast here, right before we started the program, and it's sick. Sick. How can these correspondents sit there and giggle and hoot and holler? From Ed, who agrees on the immigration issue, agrees with what Bridget wrote and what I've said on this program. And Ed writes a few things, and he says, how about a global minimum wage? Yeah. Well, that would certainly add some validity to the idea of globalization, right? Huh? If there was some sort of but now we're into one worldism, and this makes the right wingers and the nationalists just go berserk, absolutely berserk, because they can't understand that if you have a one world currency, if you have laws, pollution laws that apply globally, if you have wages and earnings that apply globally, that somehow to the people who cannot think any longer in the United States, which is about 85% of us, that smacks of I don't know, the UN taking over or something. I don't know. So Ed, forget it. Forget it. Jack Abramoff, almost 6 years in prison. That is the minimum for what he pled guilty to: conspiracy, wire fraud, on and on and on. Investigation is still continuing, though, in the murder that Abramoff and his partner were involved in. That was the execution-style slaying of this guy named, what's his name, Boulis, B-O-U-L-I-S. Let's see, what does it say here? Blah, 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 blah. Abramoff and the other one that pled guilty, Kidden, are also expected to give statements in the investigation into the February 6, 2001 slaying of this guy named Boulis, who was gunned down at the wheel of his car amid a power struggle over the gambling fleet, Sun Cruise Casinos. Konstantinos Gus Boulis. Three men faced murder charges, including one who worked for Abramoff's partner as a consultant at Sun Cruise, and who allegedly has ties to New York's Gambino crime family. Both Abramoff and Kidden have repeatedly denied any role in or knowledge of the Boulis murder. Oh, well, that's a surprise. Huh? Anyway, Abramoff got something like 200, what they call good boy letters. 260 of these good boy letters. These are letters written on behalf of someone who's about to be sentenced. The letters are addressed to the judge, and the letters usually say things like, you know, I understand that Jack Abramoff is a liar, a thief, probably a rapist, an arsonist, most likely a murderer, a con artist of the highest order, a defiler of the Jewish faith, an apostate, a hypocrite, a thug, yada, yada. But on the other hand, he always used to go to shul. He did. He was a good boy. He did. He went to Sunday school, too. Good boy letters. So 260 people, according to the Associated Press, that included rabbis, military officers, oh, my God, and even a professional hockey referee. wrote letters on behalf of these two thugs asking the federal judge for leniency. So the federal judge, I guess, agreed to it because the 5 years and 10 months in prison that this filthy human being got is the minimum sentence allowed. That's the minimum. So I guess the good boy letters worked. Jack is a good person, but you know, he lost sight of the rules in his quest to be successful. That kind of letter. Now, not to worry. The most he'll serve is probably about 2 years, and then Bush will pardon him. Representative Cynthia McKinney, my representative, with whom I'm going to share a stage this, what is it, Saturday? Here in Atlanta. Yeah, I'm going to give an honest-to-God speech. They've given me 5 minutes. But Cynthia is going to be there. All sorts of people. It's the Georgia Peace and Justice Organization. And you can go to their website, georgiapeace.org, to find out about this. There's a list of speakers that just goes on for days. And I'm in there somewhere. John Conyers is going to be here. Cynthia McKinney. We're having a march from Martin Luther King Center to Piedmont Park, which is Atlanta's equivalent of Central Park. Matter of fact, both parks were designed by the same guy, Olmsted. What was his first name? Robert? Robert Olmsted? Don't know. But Cynthia got into a scuffle today. She and a police officer. You go, girl. She entered a house office building. She was not recognized. She didn't stop when the cop asked her to. This is according to U.S. Capitol Police. She's a six-term congresswoman who represents one of the counties here in the Atlanta area. And according to one account, she struck the officer. Oh, yeah. Okay. You ever met Cynthia? She is a small woman. Small in stature. She's a giant in terms of the truth she tells. But you know, she's a small woman. The officer, who was not authorized to speak publicly about the incident, spoke only on condition of anonymity. She hit me! She hit me! McKinney's office did not immediately return a call to the Associated Press for comment. Now, the way this works, this is in the office building, Kathy, that you and I went into when we were up there for something. I don't know. But the way it works, members, everybody who walks in has to go through a metal detector. It's just like going through the gate at, you know, airport, only not quite as intense. But members of Congress don't have to walk through those metal detectors as they enter the buildings in the Capitol complex. They wear lapel pins, identifying them as members. I know that leads to the immediate question, what happens to some enterprising bomber who fakes a lapel pin and gets somebody to walk through and blow up the Capitol? But never mind. This is Department of Homeland Security's gig, not yours and mine. McKinney usually doesn't wear her pin. Mainly because she's been there for so damn long, she's recognized by the people who, and they're uniformed, they're Capitol Police. They're not uniformed Secret Service, they're just Capitol Police. Hey, Cynthia, hey, what's that? Go right in. But today, you see, today, by one of police account, she walked around a metal detector and an officer asked her several times to stop. Stop! 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 When she did not, the officer tried to stop her. And then she struck the officer, the official said. You go, girl. Beat that son of a bitch into the ground. Get your hand off me. Now, the Associated Press, the last couple of lines in here, it says this. McKinney was defeated in 2002 after she implied on a talk radio program that the Bush administration might have had advance notice of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. She won back the seat 2 years later with a 64% of the vote. Okay, the first part of that is an absolute lie, and I'm surprised the Associated Press. Cynthia McKinney was defeated in 2002 because she was an uppity black woman. And what happened, the way the primary system works here in Georgia, all the Republicans that live in Gwinnett County, which is next to DeKalb County here, crossed over, gave up their right to vote in the general election, and voted against Cynthia, voted for some some woman named Majette, and gave Majette the win in the primary. Well, there's never, I don't think there ever will be a Republican who wins in DeKalb County, so Majette was de facto elected. Well, Cynthia fell back, regrouped, and came out the next time and kicked the ass of her opponent, Denise Majette, the one who quote, defeated, close quote, Cynthia McKinney, tried to run for the U.S. Senate. And somebody should have said to her, honey, wait a minute, yo, you're in Georgia. You're in Georgia. You are female. You are of African descent, partly, a little bit. And down here, we have the one drop rule. You understand? If one drop of you is Negro, you ain't getting elected to nothing. Except maybe sheriff, and there's reasons for that. So I'll be curious, won't you, Kathy, to see what Cynthia's side of the story is Saturday. We'll investigate and report. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
It makes sense, by the way, to use research and development, your dollars for research and development to figure out ways to burn corn.
You dumb bastard. By the way, right before the break, when I said, you know, this is Georgia, the one-drop rule applies if you're female and or black or male and or black, you don't win elections. What I meant, of course, is statewide elections. Of course, in local elections, black folk, white folk, whatever. But in statewide elections, this is Georgia. This is Georgia. There have been one or two notable exceptions. The Supreme Court, The Supreme Court Chief Justice of the Georgia Supreme Court is a black woman who won a statewide race, but that's because there's a lot of reasons for it. Never mind. Some of the gems from today's speech and Q&A with the audience from Chuckle Nuts. Now, again, with any luck, we'll have the audio for you tomorrow. But this will just hit the highlights a little bit. And we thought maybe, can we have some music behind this? Something appropriate? That's good. I like that. On global warming. First of all, the globe is warming. The fundamental debate, is it man-made or natural? On the Syria-Lebanon conflict. Syria is a complicated issue because of Lebanon. It's not complicated, actually. It's quite clear what needs to be done. Our message to Bashar Assad is that we expect, if they want to be a welcomed country into the world, that they have got to free Lebanon. I guess it's kind of hard to give up on a country on which you've had a stranglehold. On the issue of Russia becoming hostile to democracy. I haven't given up on Russia. I still think Russia understands that it's in her interest to be West. On the Mubarak regime in Egypt, one of the interesting debates we have about the freedom movement is whether or not institutions have to be right before there's elections. My answer, you heard my answer, is you can't wait for perfect because it's an excuse for the status quo. For those who say, well, we can't have elections until everything is just right or until we know the outcome of the elections, are those who provide excuse, in my judgment, for a foreign policy which in the past has said it's okay just so long as energy is priced okay and okay so there's no ruffles on the sea looks calm. This is astonishing. This is astonishing. On the violence we've caused in Iraq. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry. We don't care what the child's religion may be or where that child may live. We cry. It upsets us. On his personal belief system and decision to invade Iraq, when you see me make decisions or make statements like I make, you've got to understand it's coming from a basic set of beliefs. That's what I believe. And that's what a decision maker ought to do. The decision maker ought to make decisions based upon deep-seated beliefs. You don't need a president's chasing polls and focus groups in order to make tough decisions. You need presidents who make decisions based upon sound principle. Now, people may not agree with the decisions. I understand that. But I hope after this talk, those of you who didn't agree at least know I'm making my decisions based on something I believe deep in my soul. On the immigration issue, as far as the Mexican folks sneaking in the border, they're sent back very quickly, back into their country. Since 2001, believe it or not, we've stopped 6 million people trying to sneak into our country. An amazing statistic. It's a lot. It turns out, what's very interesting, is that when you deny, when you make something illegal and there's a demand for it, people find ways around it. That's why there's tunnels. On his choice of swimwear in Cancun. final question, then I'm going down to be with the President of Mexico and the Prime Minister of Canada in Cancun. No Speedo suit here, thankfully. Jesus, can we take a break here, Kathy, while I kill myself?
Ice pick time.
It's now, you know, I watched some of this today, and I watched this slimy freak standing there, all sweaty and red in the face, and with that billboard behind him saying, freedom, what was it, freedom something, freedom house, freedom garage, freedom...
The only reason he spoke to him so he could put that freedom there.
Freedom attic, freedom crawl space, you know, whatever the hell. That's the reason we have tunnels. And I watched this today, and I was kind of leaning back in the bed. I think Molly was taking her nap, and I was watching this, and I was just like, this is great stuff. This is the Daily Show, right? This is not real. This is not really. I mean, he's not really saying this. Yes, he was. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
You would think that V for Vendetta, a movie jam-packed with post-9/11 themes, deserved a serious response. Instead, some of the most prominent media outlets have chosen to insult anyone who might believe the film worthy of debate. The New York Times review opened with the line, quote, thumbsuckers of the world unite. It ended by wondering how anyone over the age of 14 could find the movie subversive. This line of attack is sadly nothing new. Those of us who objected to the results of the 2000 presidential election were told to, quote, get over it. Those of us who question the continued occupation of Iraq are accused of being, quote, cut and runners. It never ceases to amaze me how desperate many members of the media are to appear cool, to show they get it. Government surveillance, torture, media manipulation, corporate corruption, this is how the world works, they shrug. Well, they may be comfortable in such a world, but for those of us who are not, V for Vendetta is a movie to savor. I'm Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation. For Air America, for more, go to thenation.com.
Hank Montenegro of Morganville, New Jersey wrote, Dear Mr. Oreck, ever since we purchased your 8-pound Oreck XL vacuum, my wife has been in heaven. Recently, she panicked, believing she'd broken the vacuum. I contacted your customer service department, and after a few questions, I was sent a replacement part at no charge. The machine is as good as new. Try my 8-pound Oreck XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors. And better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The Senate gave overwhelming approval to legislation restricting lobbyist gift giving and making lobbying activities more open. But critics say those new rules fall far short of steps needed to restore the integrity of Congress in the eyes of the public. Jail time for former lobbyist Jack Abramoff in a fraud case involving his purchase of a fleet of gambling boats. That sentence of 5 years and 10 months could be reduced within a year if prosecutors are happy with his cooperation in the investigation of corruption in Washington. The start of the prison term to be delayed for at least 3 months to allow him to continue working with prosecutors. Abramoff also pleaded guilty in January to 3 federal charges as part of the congressional investigation. In the latter case, he admitted providing lavish trips, golf outings, and more to public officials in exchange for favors. Abramoff, friend of former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, former Christian Coalition Leader Ralph Reed, collected more than $100,000 for George Bush's 2004 reelection campaign. Bush and dozens of lawmakers have since given the money donated by Abramoff to charities. A former federal prosecutor and a State Department official indicted today on charges of conspiring to conceal evidence during a botched terrorism trial that proved a major embarrassment for the Bush administration. Former Assistant U.S. Attorney Richard Convertino and State Department Regional Security Officer Harry Smith were charged with conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and making false declarations. The indictment stemmed from the prosecution of 4 North African immigrants accused of operating a terrorist cell in Detroit. The case was the nation's first major terrorism trial after the 9/11 attacks, hailed by the Bush administration at one point as a victory in the war on terror. 2 of the 4 men convicted in 2003, verdicts later overturned. The charges against Convertino carry up to 30 years in jail, those against Smith up to 20 years. The U.N. Security Council today unanimously approved a statement demanding that Iran suspend uranium enrichment. That sets the stage for confrontation with Iran, which still insists its nuclear efforts are for energy purposes only. Gas mileage requirements for larger vehicles like pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles are going up. Officials say new fuel economy rules released today will save 10.7 billion gallons of fuel during the lifetime of vehicles sold between 2008 and 2011. This is Air America Radio News.
back, 6 and a half past the hour. Let me just mention again, this Saturday, April 1st, Georgia Peace and Justice Organization is sponsoring a huge demonstration that will begin with a march from the King Center to Piedmont Park, and then speeches and all sorts of workshops and events are occurring. And it's for the it's a regional event. It's not just for Atlanta. If you have been to the website georgiapeace.org, you can see the extent of this this event. And I would hope to see just a whole lot of folks from Metro Atlanta at this event. I have been asked to give a 5-minute speech, and one of the organizers said, "Well, you know, the longest speeches are only 7 minutes, so I said, okay. Now, I would, hey, if somebody said you got 1 minute, that's all right with me. I can say a hell of a lot in 1 minute. I would start out with two words, impeach Bush. You don't need much beyond that, right? Anyway, this Saturday, go to the website, georgiapeace.org, to get all the information about the start times and the events that are there and who's going to be speaking and all sorts of things, okay? Georgia Peace and Justice. Oh, and by the way, at Piedmont Park, Dana emailed me, the designer of Piedmont Park, the same designer, of course, of Central Park in New York, is Frederick Law Olmsted. Yeah, you nod your head, Kathy, but you didn't know it. You didn't know his first name and middle name either.
Well, I'm not taking Aerosat.
All right, we're about to move on here. Gandhi's seven deadly sins. Gandhi considered these traits to be the most spiritually perilous to humanity. Wealth without work. That's just about everybody in the upper 5% of the Republican Party, isn't it? Wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, science without humanity, knowledge without character, politics without principle, commerce without morality, and worship without sacrifice. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we told you that there was a conference planned for Washington, D.C. It was titled War on Christians and the Values Voters in 2006. Well, they had the event. It's reported in today's Washington Post. And the writer says that the war on Christmas has morphed into a war on Christians. There's some radio freak, some right-wing knuckle-dragger named Rick Scarborough put this thing together, two-day conference in D.C. on the war on Christians. The opening session was devoted to reports from the front lines on persecution of Christians in the United States and Canada. Now, I'm getting pissed just reading this, but let me go on. Among the conference speakers were Tom DeLay, Senator John Cornyn of Texas, and Sam Brownback of Kansas, two of the most right-wing, Christ-murdering, fake Christians in the country, as well as Phyllis Schlafly, Rod Parsley, Gary Bauer, Janet Parshall, who likes to cover up her ears anytime she gets around Randy Rhodes, and Alan Keyes, whose own daughter has disavowed him. Now, this is so irritating. This isn't, come on, it's infuriating. That Christians in America and the United States and Canada, Christians in North America, are being persecuted. Being persecuted. No, I'll tell you where Christians are being persecuted, in the Sudan. You overfed sons of bitches. You hypocritical thugs. You don't know persecution. White evangelicals make up about a quarter of the U.S. population, and 85% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. 85% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. And these paranoid, Christ-murdering thugs say, oh, we're being persecuted. Oh, we're being persecuted. In a luncheon speech yesterday, Tom DeLay took issue with what he calls the chattering classes who think there is no war on Christians. There's a war on Christians in America. Did you all know that? DeLay, soon to be bunking with another criminal of his ilk, said, quote, we are, after all, a society that abides abortion on demand. No, we don't. That has killed millions of innocent children. That's because of policies by thugs like you, halfwit. That degrades the institution of marriage. How is the institution of marriage in the United States being degraded? Well, in the southern states that identify themselves as the most Christian, the divorce rate, the spousal violence rate, the abandonment of children rate, the child abuse rate is the highest in the country, right here in Christian land, Tom. He goes on to say, and a society that treats Christianity like some second-rate superstition. He said, seen from this perspective, of course, there is a war on Christianity. Well, seen from that perspective, halfwit, there's a war on anything. Put anything in there that you want to put in. Much of the conference revolved around the difficulty of Christian parenting in a culture of sexual permissiveness. Don Feeder, founder of a group called Jews Against Anti-Christian Defamation, urged the crowd not to blame the liberal, self-hating Jews in Hollywood. It's always the Jews. Somehow they always work the Jews. You know that? This guy, Don Feeder, who I guess is Jewish, said, remember, the people in this audience are more Jewish than people like Barbara Streisand because you embrace Jewish values and she doesn't. Really? This halfwit knows Barbara Streisand, really? Another Jewish speaker, Michael Horowitz, told the conference that the Christian decency of this country saved him from becoming a bar of soap in Nazi Germany. Yeah, that's right. Christian decency of this country. Let me tell you something, halfwit. When the Jews tried to escape Germany and come here, Roosevelt and the Congress turned the Jews away, said, no, get out of here. You're not coming here. Go away. There was attempt after attempt to rescue, wholesale rescue of Jews right before the Holocaust began. And America didn't welcome the Jews. America said, get out of here. Get out of here. And then Horowitz went on to say, you guys, I guess referring to the poor persecuted Christians in the room, you guys have become the Jews of the 21st century. Oh, my God, so to speak. And then there was Navy Lieutenant Gordon Klingenschmidt, who, according to the Washington Post, brought the crowd to its feet by introducing himself as a military chaplain, quote, who prays in the name of Jesus. End quote. Klingenschmidt, you see, said he was punished by a commander for offering sectarian prayers at a memorial service for a fallen sailor. And he compared himself at this Congress, at this convention to Abdur Rahman. That's the Afghan man who until this week faced possible execution for converting from Islam to Christianity. This arrogant son of a bitch compared himself to somebody who was going to be beheaded by these sick Muslims who sometimes are even sicker than these sick Christians, right? They're all the same, aren't they? But he had a slideshow, Navy Lieutenant Gordon James Klingenschmidt. And he asked the question, quote, what do these two Christians have in common? And he showed slides first of himself and then of Rahman. And then he answered his own question. Perhaps we are persecuted. Perhaps we are no different than most Christians throughout history. Does this guy not understand that in the history of the past 2,000 years, probably the one religion that has done the most murder and persecution in the name of their God has been Christians? I mean, who doesn't understand that? Maybe they'll teach that in the Christian the Bible classes here in Georgia in the public schools starting next year, huh?
And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Our friends over at TVNewsLies.org have an editorial up, and I think you ought to go read it. I got an email today from Reg over there that reads the following. Tens of thousands of people have read the editorial today and are letting TV News Lies know that they have contacted the Oprah Winfrey Show. Can you help us spread the word? Now, what this is about is getting the closest thing that America has to Walter Cronkite, that would be Oprah Winfrey, to get her to invite on the air David Ray Griffin to discuss the 9/11 Bush's complicity in what happened in this country on September 11th, 2001. Apparently, Mr. Griffin has agreed to meet with Oprah Winfrey to discuss this on television if she's willing to do it. So what Reg is asking, she writes, Mike, could you ask people to read our editorial today? It gives the email contact information for the Oprah Winfrey Show so that your listeners can ask Oprah to allow the evidence to be discussed in her program. We believe that could be a really important moment. So check it out, tvnewslies.org, and the editorial is 9/11 Truth Calling Oprah. Check it out. This is not trivializing the issue by any means. This is doing what is sacrosanct in this country, and that is contacting whomever it takes to get the story out. And if that's if it's Oprah Winfrey, if it's Jon Stewart, if it's David Letterman, it doesn't make any difference. So-called mainstream media is not going to do this. So go visit the website, tvnewslies.org, and check out this editorial that they have up. All right, let's do some phone calls. We're getting close to the bottom of the hour. Let's do some phone calls here. Sam is calling from Canada. Sam, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I listened to all your shows with Philip Markowitz describing his experiences during the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Now, I myself am half Austrian Jew. Most of my great aunts and uncles were killed in the same genocide. And obviously, I know the Holocaust took place on a personal level.
Uh-huh.
All right, that being said, your readings of 1984 got me thinking about thought crime and how that relates to today. So I'm wondering, what's your opinion on the Holocaust denier, David Irving, who's committed essentially thought crime in Austria and is now serving jail time because of his belief that the Holocaust did not take place? I mean, this guy's obviously some breed of neo-Nazi, but isn't the greatest test of free speech when you don't agree or are upset by what's being said?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. You know, I had David Irving on one of the first programs I ever did on talk radio 20 years ago. I didn't know who he was, and he was on book tour, and I had him on. And I was kind of astonished by what I heard him say, because I think he's a total jackass. But yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call it thought crime. I think it is some sort of weirdness. I know in a couple of countries it is literally illegal to say things like the Holocaust never occurred. Any moron that wants to say the Holocaust never occurred, or the earth is flat, or the moon is made out of green cheese, or the earth revolves around the sun, in my opinion, should, as long as they're not a danger to anyone, because they're obviously insane, as long as they're not saying that while they're waving an Uzi, they should be able to say it. And people should just ignore the hell out of them. David Irving is anybody who says that the deaths of 9 million people, 6 million of whom were Jews, did not occur is obviously deluded or psychologically imbalanced. But to say to that deluded or unbalanced person, okay, because you've said that, because you keep saying it, we're going to lock you up. That sounds like something you would find in the Soviet Union, like something Solzhenitsyn would have been charged with and jailed in the Gulag. So I think David Irving should just be ignored. Just ignore him. Let the son of a bitch say whatever he wants. You know, who cares? It doesn't make any difference.
That's
you, you know, we've got somebody here, this freak from the some so-called Baptist church. Oh, what's his name? Fred Phelps, who goes to funerals of soldiers and gay folk, and he holds up signs that says, you know, God sends fags to hell. Well, obviously, this guy is demented. He's sick. But we don't arrest him. Just let him wallow in his own slime. And I feel the same way about Irving. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I agree with what you said. Also, I just wanted to mention real quickly, if I could, the Charlie Sheen thing with, like, I read Drudge, like, every now and then, you know,
uh-huh.
because he's quick about things.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that he put up a story about it and then took it down and didn't even put it in his archive. It's something he's never done before. I'm glad that somebody at least is bringing like light to the 9/11 truth movement as you have.
Okay, well, thanks, Sam. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. As far as Drudge, I've made myself clear on Drudge. He's just another freak. You know, he's Hannity. He's derivative. He's I don't know. You know, he's a non-person, to go back to Orwellian speak. You know, he's a non-person. Drudge, if Drudge dropped off the planet tomorrow, who would notice? Oh, I guess maybe his mom would, but other than that. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Oric XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Oric XL.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Time Lullaby. It's Michael Wrong.
Welcome back, 26 before the hour. Let's go back to some phone calls here. By the way, we have some open lines, and I know why we do, because you think, oh, Christ, you're not even going to take any phone calls tonight. Yes, I am, starting right now. Phone number is 866-303-2270. There's a couple additional items that we want to drop into the mix here, but let's do some phone calls, all right? Let's start with Earl, who's calling in from Canada. Earl, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, Earl.
Hey, it's... Abraham's son, Earl.
Oh, that's right. Hi, Earl. How you doing?
Pretty good. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
I'm actually phoning about, in school right now, I'm trying to raise awareness about the 9/11 truth.
Yeah.
And I'm actually talking to friends and teachers and everything, and tomorrow I'm showing one of my teachers the Loose Change video that was made.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you're showing this with the class in attendance, or you're going to give it to your teacher and let him or her look at it themselves?
Well, actually, we're watching it at lunchtime, and then if I'm going to run it by him to actually show it during class or something.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, let us know how that works out.
Yeah, I'll phone back in a couple weeks or something. And...
Yeah, I would think that in a country other than the United States, I mean, the Canadians, I would think, would treat it... the 9/11, the Loose Change video, with at least open curiosity to see what was put together here, and since they don't have a political stake, nobody's going to come screaming at a school teacher in Canada and say, you know, you Bush-hating thug, anti-Christian, godless, whatever.
Yeah, and well, it all started because I have some friends and they're Christian and they. Believe George Bush is a very good guy. He's doing good things for his country, and
yeah, right.
Trying to tell him the truth.
Yeah, well, be careful. There are none so blind, Earl, as those who will not see. And a lot of people, when they're walking around blind, they want you to be blind too. I'm talking about spiritual blindness or mm-hmm. blindness to the truth. So, be careful. All right.
Yeah, I will be.
All right, Earl, let me know how it goes with the showing the video.
Yeah, phone back.
All right. Take care, Earl. Good hearing from you. Rosemary is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Rosemary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Rosemary.
I'm the first-time caller, finally got through. I just want to let you know, no, you are not turning into an old coot or whatever.
Well, that's good to know.
No, you're helping to keep us all sane here. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, that you really help us all here, you know.
Well, we're just
around the radio. Yes, you help us because it's wonderful to know that there are people who still think and feel as deeply as you do. And you mentioned people like, you know, how can they look at themselves? How can Lynn Cheney or how can some of these people... how do they live with them? As someone explained to me once, it's, there are so many surface people in the world.
Mm.
And when you do feel and think deeply and you care so much, you know, about the state of, you know, not just your own world, but the larger picture,
right.
it's really baffling.
Mm-hmm.
To see all this, you know, we all look around and, you know, we can't, I can't believe, you know, when I turn on, it's hard to find any real news. You have to be, you know, so selective, you know, you and Air America help keep so many of us sane. And,
yeah, I know what you say. I know what you mean by that, because if I want to listen to talk radio, I must listen to Air America. Myself, whoever's on, like today, I was listening to Tom Hartman, who was filling in for Randy.
Oh, yeah. Recent, or he's...
Well, no, Tom has been in talk radio for a long time. He is syndicated by Air America. He's not an Air America person. He's syndicated. That sounds. I don't know how that sounds, but
okay, he's
syndicated. Tom has always had. He's always worked independently of any network. Whereas, for example, Al Franken or Randy or I or Janine, we
yeah.
work
I
for.
Love you. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Air America. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Well, go ahead, Rosemary.
Yeah. You've helped us all so much, and I just wanted to tell you to keep on plugging, and we're here with you. When you're down, you know, we feel down. When you're up, you know, we feel up. By the way, Mike, you know, this war on Easter?
The war on Easter.
Have you heard the war on Easter?
No, I haven't heard that yet.
You've heard Easter bunnies on steroids.
Ah, I got you. All right, I'll look for that. Thanks, Rosemary.
You're welcome, Mike.
All right, appreciate you checking in. I always feel compelled when somebody says it's me to just add the addendum. No, it's the people that call the program, who make their comments, who send the emails, and so on and so forth. I'm not good at taking compliments like, you know, something I'm doing. It's not anything I'm doing. It's what that's the whole point of this program. You know, when we laid out our mission statement, we're not here to educate. We're here to just get together in the evening and talk about it. That's it. Ed is calling from Illinois. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. I've been listening to you for a long time. I'm just calling sort of reverberate what that lady just said a little bit about the media. And is there anything going on besides Air America, or maybe... You know, maybe like somebody trying to make an Air America 2, you know what I'm saying?
Not that I'm aware of. There are a handful of liberal talk show hosts in this country who have been doing the heavy lifting for progressive politics for years, independent of any network. These guys and gals have worked at stations, no network or syndicator would ever give them a shot because the networks and the syndicators are cowardly right-wing bastards for the most part. But it's not just Air America. There's a bunch. I can't give you all of their names or who
they work for.
But
yeah,
you can, you know, just do a Google on liberal talk show hosts. They're a bunch. Most of them are on the coasts. But there are a few in Heartland America.
Can you tell me this? I can do that Google search. But the funding behind Air America. I mean, since the media is pretty much a corporate run, aren't there any corporations out there that would be in their best interest to not be funding this right wing, you know, media?
You'd think, wouldn't you? But I. You know, media, radio, and television is corporate America.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like asking, shouldn't corporate America not feed itself? Well, the answer to that is no, not unless it wants to starve. Whereas Air America Radio Network, for example, we have investors. We have companies that buy advertising time on the network because they know that the audience for this network is building. But we have investors. Sure, it would be wonderful if there was some liberal corporations who would kick in money, but they won't. And I don't know why.
I tell you, I'm an owner-operator truck driver, and if you ever get lost out here in the country anywhere, I'll find you and help you out.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Have a good one, Mike.
All right, Ed. Take care. That's the big mystifying element in liberal talk. There have always been liberal talk show hosts. It's just about 10 years ago we all started being frozen out of going to work on radio stations. Not me particularly. I went to work for WLS in Chicago and lasted 3.5 years before the son of a bitch who was the program director tried to sew my mouth shut, and I told him to, you know, go do it to himself. This wasn't going to happen. And as a result, we parted company. But and it happened to Nancy Skinner. It happened to my friend Ski Anderson. It has happened repeatedly to liberal talk show hosts across the country over the past 10 years. We've been either marginalized or not hired, and it's been a conscious effort to silence the progressive left. That's all. It just is. And I don't care what these people like Sean Hannity say or Neil Bortz or the rest of these halfwits about there's no market for liberal talk. They're lying. They're terrified of liberal talk. You put Neil Bortz or Hannity or Limbaugh or any of these pigs in a free-for-all up against, in any given market in the country, up against a liberal. You put them up against me, put them up against Randy, put them up against Ray Taliaferro, put them up against whoever. And they will get their asses kicked all around the room. But that's not how it works. You see what I'm saying? It just doesn't work that way. So, anyway. I hate to get off on that topic. I really do. We have a break coming up here, but did in the Times today, did you see this article? Bush opposes Iraq's premier. Yeah, the American ambassador, that would be the oil executive Zalmay Khalilzad, has told Shiite officials in Iraq that President Bush does not want the Iraqi prime minister to remain the country's leader in the next government. This is a guy that was elected. This is the guy, you know how Bush stands up there with his face hanging out talking about, well, they had free elections! And the son of a bitch wants to get rid of the current leader of Iraq who was voted in. Now, does he ever say that when he stands up in front of Freedom Attic or Freedom Basement and make these long-winded speeches like he did today? Does he ever say, oh, by the way, the free elections in the occupied territories? No. The free elections in Iraq? No. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Brainwashed by the satellite, brainwashed to
the bone. The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
We're going to make elections.
Jesus. You know, as the editors at truthout.org wrote today, one stated objective that Bush has repeatedly pointed to in justifying the continued U.S. occupation of Iraq is helping Iraq to become a, quote, democracy, close quote. And today, Bush asked the man who, according to U.S. authorities, the man was duly elected by the Iraqi people as their prime minister, Ibrahim al-Jafari, to resign. Now, up to this point, 2,315 U.S. soldiers and Marines and an estimated 50 to 100,000 Iraqis have died as a result of the Bush administration's decision to invade and occupy Iraq. And after all the other reasons collapsed because they were phony and faked and slapped together to begin with, the one remaining lie put out there by this Bush bastard was that we were bringing democracy to Iraq. He was even talking about it today. He still thinks that democracy is occurring in Iraq. And it's not. Something else is occurring in Iraq. Civil war is occurring in Iraq. Murder, fraud, deceit, Halliburton, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush, all of these swine, these vermin, have gone to Iraq and are destroying the country. But it's not democracy. And when they do make an attempt at democracy and they elect somebody, according to the Bush thugs, this guy was fairly elected, yeah. And then Bush thinks he can sit back on his bony ass and say, okay, I want him gone. Yes, he does think he can do that. Because Bush is the worst kind of tin-horn, cheap-ass dictator ever. He's an idiot. And when the Palestinian people elect a candidate from Hamas that has been involved in direct and open warfare with the IDF for God knows how long, and don't we hope it stops? And don't we hope that somehow the situation in Israel slash Palestine can be solved? The people, though, made their choice. We want this guy. And how did the U.S. respond to direct democracy? Okay, you guys, you're going to elect Hamas? No money. Which guarantees a collapse of any attempt to bring some sort of order or justice or respect between the Palestinians and the Israelis. I'm so over that situation, and that sounds so cheesy on my part because so many people have died. So many people have been blown to pieces. On both sides. It's oh God. But anyway, the point is this Bush bastard who stands there in front of the American people making these half-witted jokes about wearing a Speedo down at Cancun and sending more and more and more and more people to their graves, murdering them. What do you call this? This is not a war. This is murder. This is mass killing. And he gets away with it. Every single day, more people are dying. Soldiers, Marines, Iraqis, children, men, women, old people, young people, middle-aged people. The country's being just destroyed and ground into chunks of meat and broken glass. And Bush says, well, okay, you had your election. I don't like this guy. He's a little bit too independent because he keeps talking about get the hell out of his country. It's not his country. It's my country. I broke it. Isn't that the Pottery Barn rule? I broke it. It's mine. It's mine. That's what Uncle Dick told me. It's mine. Son of a bitch. And some of you people wonder why I use such vile language when I talk about this guy, this Bush. What a despicable, despicable man. Yeah, I'm sending people to die, he says, because it's worth it. Then you pick up a weapon. You go over there, George, if it's so worth it. And when democracy, as you perceive it, you half-wit, takes hold and they have an election, and you sit back and say, I don't think so. Not this one. No, get another one.
Uncle Dick, they put the wrong guy here. Uncle Dick, you promised me this wouldn't happen, Uncle Dick. Uncle Donnie, can you blow some more people up? Make the point. I don't like this guy. Oh, I just get so angry. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't like him.
Democracy, my ass. And a spokeswoman for the American Embassy, Elizabeth Colton, said,
well, the decisions about the choice of the prime minister are entirely up to the Iraqis. This will be an Iraqi decision. Tee-hee, tee-hee, do I say it right? Tee-hee.
Unbelievable. I don't know how you folks remain sane. I don't know how I remain sane in this crazy, crazy, crazy situation. It's just, it's unbelievable. All right, we have a break. And when we come back, more of your phone calls and our reading next hour from 1984. And a couple other little items we're going to drop in the program tonight. So do stick around. I need to, why don't we have any booze in here, Kathy? Why don't we just have a couple of beers over there in the refrigerator so that when I get this keyed up on these people, I can have a beer? We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys, and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. The fate of 9/11 conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui is in the hands of a federal jury. Deliberations began Wednesday afternoon after prosecuting and defense attorneys presented closing arguments in an Alexandria, Virginia courtroom. Prosecutors hope jurors will find Moussaoui can be sentenced to death, claiming his ties kept investigators from uncovering the plot to hijack airplanes and use them as massive suicide bombs, as court-appointed defense attorneys say their client is an al-Qaeda hanger-on and was not part of the 9/11 plot. Ahmed Omar Abu Ali has been sentenced to 30 years in prison for a plot to assassinate President Bush and for conspiring with al-Qaeda. The former resident of Falls Church, Virginia, was found guilty in November of 9 charges that include conspiracy to assassinate Bush, conspiring to support al-Qaeda, and conspiracy to hijack aircraft. The United Nations Security Council has agreed on a statement demanding Iran suspend uranium enrichment. UN correspondent Nathan King says the statement, unlike a UN resolution, is not legally binding.
It doesn't threaten sanctions, and if it ever came down to sanctions, the Security Council would be deeply divided about it, although it does increase diplomatic pressure on Iran and isolate them more.
The move is the first action by the world body over fears that Tehran is trying to develop a nuclear weapon. The U.S., Britain, and France remain at odds with Russia and China over the threat of sanctions against Tehran. A New York grand jury has handed up indictments in connection to a January 2005 blaze on so-called Black Sunday. Jim Smith reports on those being held criminally responsible for the deaths of two firefighters.
Bronx DA Robert Johnson says the East 178th Street building had apartments on the third and fourth floors with illegal rooms created. The third floor resulting in overuse of electrical outlets, which sparked the blaze. The fourth floor causing six firefighters to jump, killing two.
To cut off egress, cut off the ability of the fighters to exit via the fire escape.
The leaseholders of those apartments have been indicted on second-degree manslaughter charges. The former owner and the corporation that currently owns the building also face charges. Johnson says if not for the greed to make additional rent money, the tragedy may have been avoided. In the Bronx, Jim Smith, New York.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. This is Air America. My name is Mike Beloy. I got an email here from Ben Birch. There is a second liberal network being put together. It's called Head On Radio Network, like Head On Collision. Head On Radio Network. You can find out about it at headonradionetwork.com. Head on. See, you know, this is the communications business, and nobody ever communicates with anybody. I mean, that's the way it's always felt with to me about radio, no matter where I've worked, including this network. It's very difficult to get people to communicate. We're in the communication business. So there is a second liberal network being born even as we speak. Listen carefully. Cup your ear. You may hear the faint mewling of a new liberal network. It's called headonradionetwork.com. Check it out. Hell, I think I will tonight when I get home. And I believe they're soon going to be hiring, so send them a resume. This is from our friend Larry at barrelsofblood.com. Regarding the hijacking of Easter, the war on Easter is right here in Atlanta. Larry writes, the Dunwoody Crier. Dunwoody is a neighborhood in the Crier. It'd be a local little newspaper. The Dunwoody Crier reported today that Perimeter Mall, that's one of our shopping malls, the Perimeter Mall briefly renamed the Easter Bunny the Spring Bunny. The mall apparently renamed the bunny back to Easter to... No, I'm sorry. The mall apparently renamed the bunny from Easter to Spring Bunny to avoid any controversy. After an outcry from local residents, the mall changed its website back to Easter Bunny and at another mall owned by the same company in Las Vegas. I'm sure, Larry writes, O'Reilly and Company will now write a book about the war on Easter by secularists. How about it's just an attempt by retailers to attract as many people as possible to their stores and get them to spend more money? Some people need to get a life, and the retailers need to quit trying to be so politically correct. You know, that's one thing I can never understand. The old religion that celebrates spring, the spring equinox, I mean, it's theirs. You know, like so many things that existed before Christianity existed, Christianity hijacked so many of these holy days, these spiritual holy days. And the old Celtic religion, the old Wiccan faith, the so-called old religions. I like it because it has an E on the end of old. The old religion. It was a spring festival. It was, you know, the return of the sun, for God's sake. Now, tell me, are there Christians out there, really? Come on now, get real. Are there Christians out there who want to have their risen Savior compared to a rabbit? Are there Christians out there who want to have the empty tomb in Mary Magdalene compared to the sack of jelly beans? What the hell is wrong with you people? It should be called the Spring Bunny. What's a bunny got to do with the crucified, risen Christ? You people are sick. Don't call it the Spring Bunny. It's the Easter Bunny. Jesus loved bunnies. There was a bunny on the cross next to Jesus. No, that was a thief. Well, it could have been a bunny. They pervert their own religion. They just do it over and over and over and over again. Yeah, Larry's right. I'm sure this story's going to wind up on somewhere. Oh, see, the war on Christians. The war on the sacrificed body of Christ. They won't let us talk about the Easter Bunny. We want the bloody body of Christ to be compared to a rabbit. We insist on it. Oh, my God. And Perimeter Mall, which is one of the upscale malls. Well, it used to be. I don't know. I don't go to malls. I think it's still an upscale mall. It's out where a lot of upper middle class black folk and white folk live. So I guess it's upscale. But the cowardice, you know, if they want to call it Spring Bunny, why don't they call it Somersault Upside Down Hang From Your Knees Bunny if they feel like it? Is that going to piss off somebody? But changing it from Easter Bunny to Spring Bunny out of respect, could it be out of respect to the Christian faith? Well, you know, we had a meeting and decided that it might, you know, it's a little weird. The most holy day in the Christian calendar is Easter. Without the risen Christ, there is no Christianity! Anybody can be born and claim to be a Messiah, but without the rising from the dead, there's nothing. And these people want to compare it to a rabbit. These Christians get pissed off because Perimeter Mall wants to call it the Spring Bunny. No. It's the Easter Bunny. Our Savior died so that we can eat jelly beans and Peeps. We love Peeps, you know, those little yellow chicks made out of the hooves of pigs. We love the Peeps. And you folks wonder sometimes why I just get insane about these fake religious nutballs. Good God. But I digress. Very quickly, an email from Richard in Michigan, then back to your phone calls. Richard writes, Mike, on their national newscast tonight in Canada, the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, led with the story of the first Canadian to fall in battle in that country's recently begun mission in Afghanistan. And not only did they lead with the story, they spent a full 5 minutes on the death of the 22-year-old father of one. The coverage included footage of his flag-draped coffin being loaded by an honor guard onto a plane for the trip back to Canada. No doubt tomorrow the CBC will air footage of that casket as it arrives home. In the course of their coverage, the CBC mentioned that an American soldier had been killed in the same battle during which the Canadian died. I didn't catch any of the network newscasts tonight here in the U.S., but I bet that death wasn't deemed airworthy, and if it was, it merited no more than a single sentence. No footage of any flag-draped casket for the American audience, of course. Well, to the extent that the American media has become nothing but a passel of horrors, the Canadian news media apparently has not yet reached that level. That's the only thing I can think of. Or maybe the Canadians love their sons more than we love ours. Or maybe the Canadians have more honor and respect for people who are shanghaied into battle and wind up dead. I don't even know. I don't know. It just drives me insane. It makes me crazy. As far as the American mainstream media is concerned, nobody has died in this war. You listen to that sick old bastard Donald Rumsfeld with his press conferences? Nobody's died. There's no death. Oh, you know, there's some collateral damage. There's a skirmish here, a skirmish there. A few people might have been shaken up, but nobody's dead. You ever hear Rumsfeld talk about dead people? That's what war is, you sick old bastard. It's how many people can you kill? How many things can you blow up? And when it's all over, everybody sits down, you count the dead, and you count the number of blown up things, and whoever had the largest numbers lose! Oh, God! I wonder if they'll have Easter Bunny in, oh, I don't know, the green zone in Baghdad. What do you think, huh? Do you think they'll have a 6-foot-tall Easter Bunny show up for our soldiers who may be blown up the next day because of what the U.S. foreign policy has done? You suppose? Man. But let's see what happens. Let's see how long it takes this little Hannity rat bastard or O'Reilly or whoever these people are, Chris Matthews, to glom onto these stories now about the Easter Bunny versus the Spring Bunny. Let's see how long it takes. Huh? Anybody want to get in a pool? Anybody want to, I mean, like tomorrow, next week, at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, before Drudge has it on his filthy little website, you know, how long do you think it'll take? Well, look what they're doing down there in Atlanta, Georgia. They tried to murder the Jesus Bunny. They did. They tried to put a stake in its heart. Thank God the good people around Perimeter Mall rose up and said, no, we want the risen Savior compared to a rabbit.
one to smithereens.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Searchdog USA.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
End your day streaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's 21 past the hour. Matthew in Sioux City, Iowa, who emails frequently, sends this one. Mike Malloy, will you please go to your local Quiznos sub outlet and order the classic Italian, Lay's baked potato chips and a Pepsi? It will make you feel much better. Yeah, okay. All right, back to the phones. John is calling from San Francisco. John, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike, I enjoyed the show.
Thank you.
I'm calling about the border issue.
Yes.
And I think it's weird that Bush, this man who really doesn't care about immigrants, only doing this for votes coming this fall, making such an issue out of this. It seems more like he just wants control of the borders over anything else. You know,
well, I think you're probably right. It's nothing more than a campaign issue. It's a wedge issue. It's a payback to Bush's corporate friends. Look, people would not come here and go to work except for the fact that employers will hire them and pay them a third, maybe a half of what they would pay a resident American to do really difficult, hard, backbreaking work. We talked about this the other night. You know, $4 an hour here is worth it to people who come from societies where the average wage might be 50 cents an hour if they're not working in one of those maquiladoras. So, and the employers know this. You know, it always pisses me off. They blame the so-called illegal immigrants who come to this country for work. Who hires them? I mean, who gives them a job? Do the immigrants come here fully armed? And when one of those 8,000-pound pickup trucks pulls into the day labor parking lot, do the Mexicans or the Hondurans or the Guatemalans jump out of the bushes and point guns at the driver and say, "Hire us or we will kill you"? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think this is more about not who's coming in, but who might go there if something else happens.
Yeah, well, there's probably some of that involved, too. I do agree with you. Listen, thanks a lot for checking in, John. I appreciate it. Take care. Have a nice evening. Richard is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Richard.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Richard?
Well, thank you so much for everything. I know you've overloaded with compliments tonight, but just let me throw this in. It is, I'm a 49er, born in 49, so I remember duck and cover vaguely, but I more clearly remember Radio Free Europe, the only way for people to get the truth behind the Iron Curtain, and I just feel like that's what you're doing today. You are Radio Free.
Oh, the network?
Network and all of you, and what somebody asked before. The thing about Air America is you keep having these people substitute, people come in for Randy or you or whatever,
right.
And we find that, yes, they're all over the place.
Yeah,
and here's more good news. You go to freewayblogger.com, and you can see people standing with signs, putting up signs, protesting in every city in this country. I'm part of a group in Oak Park. Actually, I live in Chicago. I'm up here working at Madison Rep for a couple of months, but I live in Chicago. And in Oak Park, tomorrow morning between 7:30 and 8:30 a.m., the Oak Park Council for Truth and Justice will be standing over that Eisenhower Freeway with our signs, where we've been standing since November of 2002.
Wow.
Every single Thursday. We've
wow.
Never
that's
Sister
that's...
Seal and Sister Ancilla and Robert, and there's always at least three or four of us. We've had up to 20. In 2002, we were covered by the McNeil Lear people. They came out and they videotaped us. You know, it was a big deal. We're still there. We haven't been covered since.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, it's not important. It's just, for me, it's important for those same people that drive by every Thursday morning to see we still have our foot in that door of free speech, and it's still possible to do that and not get arrested. Because no cop has ever bothered us. And then people have brought us coffee. You know, people have thanked us. People
You're talking about Madison, right?
I'm talking about Oak Park, Illinois. That's where I live.
Oak Park, like Madison, are enlightened communities.
But the freeway is pretty, you know, it's a lot of people.
Well, that's
thousands.
True. That's
and they're
true
coming too. From Chicago. They're coming from the western suburbs. So, yeah, I mean, we get... At first, of course, we got lots of negative reaction. But Now the bad news, and this is one more point, and I know you've got a lot of other people to talk to, but just really quickly. To me, this whole immigration thing is about whether or not we want to continue to have slavery as an institution in this country and in the world.
That's a good point.
Look at your clothes. If it says China, you don't know if that was made by somebody who was happy to have the job or somebody who's a political dissident in a prison somewhere.
That's right.
To make your shirt.
We have our own prison industrial complex here, too. They just haven't figured out yet how to turn it profitable enough where the borders can really be closed. And trust me, once Bush or whoever in corporate America figure that one out, then the gates will slam. Richard, got to go. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in, pal. We'll be right back, Truth Seekers. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers. Business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick voodoo dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush voodoo doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com and join in on the fun today.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
We'll be right back.
We are part two, chapter 8, or if you're doing it the other way, I think we're in chapter 16 now of George Orwell's 1984. At the end of last night's reading, we'd gotten to the point where Julia and Winston Smith had been invited to meet O'Brien deep within the bowels of the inner party apparatus. And they get into this place, Julia and Winston Smith, and they're just blown away by what they see. One of the things that was the most shocking to them was that O'Brien could turn off the telescreen. And that's where we pick it up. Yes, said O'Brien, we can turn it off. We have that privilege. He was opposite them now. His solid form towered over the pair of them, and the expression on his face was still indecipherable. He was waiting, somewhat sternly, for Winston to speak. But about what? Even now, it was quite conceivable that he was simply a busy man wondering irritably why he had been interrupted. Nobody spoke. After the stopping of the telescreen, the room seemed deadly quiet. The silence, the seconds marched past, enormous. With difficulty, Winston continued to keep his eyes fixed on O'Brien's. Then suddenly, the grim face broke down into what might have been the beginnings of a smile. With his characteristic gesture, O'Brien resettled his spectacles on his nose. Shall I say it, or will you? He said. I will say it, said Winston promptly. That thing is really turned off? Yes, everything is turned off. We are alone. Well, we have come here because... He paused, realizing for the first time the vagueness of his own motives. Since he did not, in fact, know what kind of help he expected from O'Brien, it was not easy to say why he had come here. He went on, conscious that what he was saying must sound both feeble and pretentious. We believe there's some kind of conspiracy, some kind of secret organization working against the party, and that you're involved in it. And we want to join it and work for it. We're enemies of the party. We disbelieve in the principles of INGSOC. We are thought criminals. We are also adulterers. I tell you this because we want to put ourselves at your mercy. If you want us to incriminate ourselves in any other way, we're ready. He stopped and glanced over his shoulder with the feeling that the door had opened. Sure enough, the little yellow-faced servant had come in without knocking. Winston saw that he was carrying a tray with a decanter and glasses. Martin is one of us, said O'Brien impassively. Bring the drinks over here, Martin. Put them on the round table. Have we enough chairs? Then we may as well sit down and talk in comfort. Bring a chair for yourself, Martin. This is business. You can stop being a servant for the next 10 minutes. The little man sat down, quite at his ease, and yet still with a servant-like air, the air of a valet enjoying a privilege. Winston regarded him out of the corner of his eye. It struck him that the man's whole life was playing a part, and that he felt it to be dangerous to drop his assumed personality, even for a moment. O'Brien took the decanter by the neck and filled up the glasses with a dark red liquid. It aroused in Winston dim memories of something seen long ago on a wall or a hoarding, a vast bottle composed of electric lights which seemed to move up and down and pour its contents into a glass. Seen from the top, the stuff looked almost black, but in the decanter it gleamed like a ruby. It had a sour, sweet smell. He saw Julia pick up her glass and sniff at it with frank curiosity. It is called wine, said O'Brien with a faint smile. You will have read about it in books, no doubt. Not much of it gets to the outer party, I am afraid. His face grew solemn again, and he raised his glass. I think it is fitting that we should begin by drinking a health to our leader, to Emmanuel Goldstein. Winston took up his glass with a certain eagerness. Wine was a thing he had read and dreamed about. Like the glass paperweight or Mr. Charrington's half-remembered rhymes, it belonged to the vanished romantic past, to the olden time, as he liked to call it, in his secret thoughts. For some reason, he had always thought of wine as having an intensely sweet taste, like that of blackberry jam, and an immediate intoxicating effect. Actually, when he came to swallow it, the stuff was distinctly disappointing. The truth was that after years of gin drinking, he could barely taste it. He set down the empty glass. Then there is such a person as Goldstein? He said. Yes, there is such a person, and he is alive. Where, I do not know. And the conspiracy, the organization, is it real? Is it not simply an invention of the thought police? No, it is real. The Brotherhood, we call it. You will never learn much more about the Brotherhood than that it exists and you belong to it. I will come back to that presently. He looked at his wristwatch. It is unwise, even for members of the inner party, to turn off the telescreen for more than half an hour. You ought not to have come here together, and you will have to leave separately. You, comrade, he bowed his head to Julia, will leave first. We have about 20 minutes at our disposal. You will understand that I must start by asking you certain questions. In general terms, what are you prepared to do? Anything that we're capable of, said Winston. O'Brien had turned himself a little in his chair so that he was facing Winston. He almost ignored Julia, seeming to take it for granted that Winston could speak for her. For a moment, the lids lifted, flitted down over his eyes. He began asking his questions in a low, expressionless voice, as though this were a routine, a sort of catechism, most of whose answers were known to him already. You are prepared to give your lives? Yes. You are prepared to commit murder? Yes. To commit acts of sabotage which may cause the death of hundreds of innocent people? Yes. To betray your country to foreign powers? Yes. You are prepared to cheat, to forge, to blackmail, to corrupt the minds of children, to distribute habit-forming drugs, to encourage prostitution, to disseminate venereal diseases, to do anything which is likely to cause demoralization and weaken the power of the party? Yes. If, for example, it would somehow serve our interest to throw sulfuric acid in a child's face, are you prepared to do that? Yes. You are prepared to lose your identity and live out the rest of your life as a waiter or a dock worker? Yes. You are prepared to commit suicide if and when we order you to do so? Yes. You are prepared, the two of you, to separate and never see one another again?
No,
broke in Julia. It appeared to Winston that a long time passed before he answered. For a moment he seemed even to have been deprived of the power of speech. His tongue worked soundlessly, forming the opening syllables, first of one word, then of the other, over and over again. Until he had said it, he did not know which word he was going to say. No, he said finally. You did well to tell me, said O'Brien. It is necessary for us to know everything. He turned himself toward Julia and added in a voice with somewhat more expression in it, Do you understand that even if he survives, it may be as a different person? We may be obliged to give him a new identity, his face, his movements, the shape of his hands, the color of his hair. Even his voice would be different. And you yourself might have to become a different person. Our surgeons can alter people beyond recognition. Sometimes it is necessary. Sometimes we even amputate a limb. Winston could not help snatching another sidelong glance at Martin's Mongolian face. There were no scars that he could see. Julia had turned a shade paler so that her freckles were showing, but she faced O'Brien boldly. She murmured something that seemed to be assent. Good, then that is settled. There was a silver box of cigarettes on the table. With a rather absent-minded air, O'Brien pushed them toward the others, took one himself, and stood up and began to pace slowly to and fro, as though he could think better standing. They were very good cigarettes, very thick and well-packed, with an unfamiliar silkiness in the paper. O'Brien looked at his wristwatch again. You had better go back to your pantry, Martin, he said. I shall switch on in a quarter of an hour. Take a good look at these comrades. Before you go, you will be seeing them again. I may not. Exactly as they had done at the front door, the little man's dark eyes flickered over their faces. There was not a trace of friendliness in his manner. He was memorizing their appearance, but he felt no interest in them, or appeared to feel none. It occurred to Winston that a synthetic face was perhaps incapable of changing its expression. Without speaking or giving any kind of salutation, Martin went out, closing the door silently behind him. O'Brien was strolling up and down, one hand in the pocket of his black overalls, the other holding his cigarette. "You understand," he said, "that you will be fighting in the dark. You will always be in the dark. You will receive orders, and you will obey them, without knowing why. Later I shall send you a book from which you will learn the true nature of the society we live in, and the strategy by which we shall destroy it. When you have read the book, you will be full members of the Brotherhood. But between the general aims that we are fighting for and the immediate tasks of the moment, you will never know anything. I tell you that the Brotherhood exists, but I cannot tell you whether it numbers 100 or 10 million.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. Working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
It'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
Yeah, well, you're halfway there, numbnuts. It's about 9 before the hour. As usual, thanks to our production crew. The program is engineered by Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac in New York City. D. Neal is our associate producer, who also works from the New York headquarters of Air America Radio. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program and is solely responsible for everything that happens, including putting some beers in the little refrigerator there. All right? Okay, back. Let's see if we can get another call in here. Lee is calling from Hollywood, Florida. Lee, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. You're on a roll tonight.
I am?
Oh, yeah. You're on a roll all the time.
Okay.
I love listening to you.
Well, thank you, Lee.
Okay. Well, I'll be short. Last week I called my senator in Florida, Bill Nelson.
Right.
And his office, and asked why or if he was going to stand up with this censure from Russ Feingold, and got no answer. So I called the Washington, D.C. office with the number, the toll-free number you guys gave us.
Right.
And the guy told me, he said, well, he's waiting on this investigation over when it's over. Then he'll make up his mind.
In other words, he's a typical Democrat, a power holder who is nothing but a coward.
That's what I'm beginning to sort of feel. But next week, I'm trying to get a list of all the Democratic senators, and they're going to get me. I'll talk to them until I lose my voice.
Oh, they're going to get you. I thought maybe they were going to come out and, you know, burn your house down or something. I see.
They're going to
get you going after them.
No, I want to talk. I want to ask them that question. I'm going to ask every single one of them.
Well, it's a fair question. The terrible part, and you're finding that out, Lee, the terrible part is so many of these Democrats are just cowards of the highest order. With Bush's approval, you know, the Democrats in Congress, both the House and the Senate, they have plenty of cover. This brain-dead mainstream media is starting to wake up to the fact that Bush is a thug and a liar and a killer.
Amen.
The American people are starting to wake up to the fact. His ratings are lower than, snake's belly in a wagon rut. And yet, is that funny?
That right.
And yet, the Democrats still are cowards. They still don't feel they have enough cover to go after this bastard who's destroying the country. This is why I will never, ever, ever, ever again have anything to do with that element of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
I will support individual Democratic candidates, people that can convince me that they are out there trying to undo the damage not done by Bush. Everybody that had a brain knew Bush would do nothing but damage, but undo the damage that the so-called Democratic Party establishment has perpetrated. It's just horrible. It's just horrible. And
just sitting on their butts and doing nothing.
No courage. Nothing. No moral fiber. No so-called background. No sense of ethics. Nothing.
No. They let this only Feingold and Murtha. That's the only two I've heard.
It's just murderous to me. I don't know how most of us are able to put up with it. I just don't. Hey, Lee, thanks for checking in.
Okay,
we'll
have to kick butt and keep them going, and you keep rolling.
I'll certainly try. All right, take care. You have a nice evening. Dick is calling from Ohio. Dick, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dick. How are you?
I'm doing good. Love Air America. You're doing a great job. Keep up the great work, buddy.
Yeah, we will.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you they better quit worrying about this doggone meeting people on the Internet and get Ohio and the nation straight. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I certainly do. I don't believe...
This paper has gone berserk about, you know, meeting people, and they talked about it on the radios today. It's terrible. They got to get something going, Mike. I wrote all my congressmen, if we don't do something now, we're going to be in deep trouble, you know?
I hear you. I hear you.
It's always a pleasure, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Dick. Take care. Doug is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Doug, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I got about 45 seconds for you tonight, pal. Sorry.
Okay, I wanted to give you you're having a problem taking prey, so I know you're getting to be an old coot, so I just want to tell you you're my favorite conduit.
Conduit?
Yeah, man. Hey, we're going to kick him out of there, man. I got my book finished, and I want to thank you immensely for the email you sent me. The congratulations.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just spending a lot of time collecting aluminum cans now. I got to pay for it. I'm not Hillary, so I got to pay for mine, man.
We're
going to kick him out of here. Here's a good one for the religious people. Well, it's black and white and red all over, Mike.
An embarrassed zebra.
No, a nun rolling downhill.
Oh, that's awful. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate you checking in, even though you made a terrible anti-religious statement. You know, people who are anti-religious just have... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, never mind. Thanks, Doug. Thanks for participating in the program tonight. We do appreciate it here at the Malloy Program. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Steve Sinton will be my guest for a few minutes, and all sorts of fun and frivolities. So, in the meantime, take care, all right? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors, and better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.